I'm Bear Grylls, and you're listening to Life Minute.
He's the fearless face of wildlife adventure, the man who's hosted more extreme TV shows than anyone in history, taking everyone from Will Ferrell, Bradley Cooper, and Julia Roberts, even President Obama, along for the ride. Now the former British Army 21 Special Air Force soldier, devoted family man, and number one best-selling author is out with his latest book, The Greatest Story Ever Told. Grylls sat down with me at our studios in New York City recently to tell us all about it and more. This is a Life Minute with Bear Grylls. Bear Grylls in the house.
Yay! Hey, nice to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. So great to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, good fun. We're surviving. Woo-hoo! Still going.
Yeah, yes. Not easy sometimes. So you have this beautiful new book out, The Greatest Story Ever Told. Tell us about it.
This has been the hardest, but probably the best thing I feel I've ever done. You know, I still have my day job, which is all the survival shows, and we've just finished filming season 9, Running Wild, which has been, you know, a privilege and always fun. But along that journey of life and adventure, my Christian faith has always been a quiet, empowering part of my life that's helped me through, you know, so many jungles, deserts, mountains over the years. I don't know, I just feel so few people know the real story of Christ. You know, we've myself included, grew up with such a, I don't know, sanitized version of faith, you know, where it was always wrapped up in religion and church. And I just felt like, why don't you write the real story of Jesus actually as a straight story? Because most of us know stories, you know, like we might have heard of the Nativity or the Crucifixion or the Good Samaritan or whatever, but nobody's ever written, you know, out of all the zillions of books around the world, nobody's ever just written the story of Jesus as a thriller, you know, theologically accurate, but written just as a straight story. So I've done this, it came out, it went straight to number one when we released it, and it's just like developed this life of its own. It's outgrown me, really. And I get messages and letters and every day from all over the world, people, different cultures, different faiths, from Muslims, from all sorts of people. And they generally say the same thing, which is, I had no idea of how radical this guy was and the real story. So, like I say, hardest but the best thing, but a real privilege.
Beautiful. And why now? Why did you feel compelled to do it?
I don't know. I think in life you've got to try, the journey of life is follow your heart, isn't it? Try and have the courage in life to follow your heart. And I just really felt like clear the decks and write this. And like I say, I think when I realized that nobody had ever done this before, for me, it was so logical. You know, and people find it hard to read the Bible. I mean, not many people read the Bible. You know, even people of faith, you know, you might dip into it and you have a reading from something, but it's hard. So I kind of wanted to make this story really accessible for people and to sort of show how faith can be a really beautiful, empowering part of life. It doesn't have to mean you've got to be super religious or anything, because I'm not, actually. You know, I really, really never have been. That's not the part that appeals to me, you know. But I think we all want to find strength in life and find peace and find home. And that's the sort of thing that Jesus always talked about, you know, finding freedom and being healed in our lives. And everybody wants that. So it's trying to sort of separate what 2,000 years of church infrastructure has made it and showing actually how different the real thing is and telling that story. We did a series a couple of years ago in Israel called Refugee, Renegade, Redeemer, which was first kind of departure of into faith programming, I suppose, that we'd done. And I took a parachute, a tent and a motorbike and traveled through Israel, literally like a week before October the 7th. So the timing was crazy and kind of told the story. And I think that was a catalyst for the book of like actually going there and just seeing it for myself. And trying to figure out why did everyday people just fight to be close to this guy? And why did the religious elite fear him so much? You know, that was intriguing for me. Why has he become so much the center of the world still 2,000 years on? And so the book was born.
Cool. That's really neat. And you kind of said it, but did your faith sort of like help you survive through all your wild adventures?
My faith has helped me survive in everyday life as well. I think it's not just a wilderness thing. You know, I think people say, I got asked the other day, was, you know, on the summit of Everest, did you feel, you know, closer to God? And the answer is like, no, I felt like, we're focused, we're on the edge here. You know, it's like, I don't think it's always kind of like that. But through so much, the good, the bad, and the wild stuff, and also the everyday stuff, like I said, over the years, my faith has just been like a backbone through things. And I look at it as like a streak of steel in the middle and light to a dark path often ahead. And so, yeah, always grateful for that. But I try not to overcomplicate it more than that, really. And I have as many doubts, to be honest, as I do moments of eyes wide wonder. But I've also learned that that's okay. You know, doubt and faith, maybe they're like two sides of the same coin. So, yeah.
That's good. Beautiful. I love it. Do you think religion should be taught in schools?
Depends what you mean by religion. I would say faith should be. Faith in the Almighty. You know, I remember when I first joined the army, a guy much wiser than me saying to me, you've got to have faith in three things. Faith in yourself, faith in each other, faith in the Almighty. And so I think faith is a key part of life. You cannot be truly empowered on your own. You're always going to be weak. Everyone thinks they're strong in the wild until they're not. And then where do you go? You know? So faith is a key thing for young people to grow up with. Religion as such, you know, that doesn't empower anyone. And our faith is not religion, and our faith isn't even church. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with church, you know, or singing or sermons, or, you know, they all have a place, but they aren't our faith. Our faith is quietly kneeling before the Almighty, asking for help. And that's a place of empowerment, actually. You know, I always remember the quote that man is never as tall as when he kneels down. And I like that because life is humbling ultimately.
That's good. Did you always have a love of nature and a wild side?
I think adventures always felt natural to me. I mean, I was brought up from a young age to love the outdoors and to be in the outdoors all the time, and always kind of with my dad at a young age, tinkering around, fixing up boats and climbing on the sea cliffs where I was brought up at home. And it was just a big part of my life always. He'd been a former Royal Marines commando and just a really great dad, actually, you know, and he died sadly too young. But I kind of look back on those years, and I'm now dad to three boys, and realize he got so much of it right, you know, and that was a gift. And he had a strong faith as well. That was always sort of quiet, but clear with him, always encouraged me to go for things in life. Don't be scared to fail. Don't listen to the dream stealers, and be a never give upper. That was his thing. And so, yeah, adventure's always been a part of my life. I think if you could say to the 7-year-old me, you could have a job that involved getting muddy, still climbing up stuff, jumping off stuff, I'd feel very lucky.
Oh, that's so great. Are you afraid of anything?
So many things. You know, I think one of the dangers of TV is that it always makes everything out to look. The music's always playing. Yeah, it's always that, and life's not like that, you know. So I have many fears. I mean, I broke my back whilst I was a young soldier in a freefall accident. And ever since then, you know, skydiving for me is really hard. But as you know, it's like a huge part of my life, and the TV shows. I will always start in the episodes jumping out of a plane or chopper or hot air balloon or something. So for me, it's like a choice to always try and walk towards the difficult stuff, not run from it. And I think ultimately adventure is a state of mind. You know, it's how we live our life. It's not just confined to the mountains. You know, adventure is how we approach risk and relationships and work and family. And it's a state of mind.
What propels that, like, drive to want to put yourself in those situations?
We become a product of our little decisions every day, and I just think it's how I've always been brought up. You know, it's like the outdoors is good and it lights people up, and I see it all the time now. I see it through, you know, those many years I did as chief scout to the world scouts, you know, 55 million young people. I'd see it every day, you know, especially in difficult areas. Give them access to the outdoors and adventure, it lights them up, it binds us together, it strengthens us inside. And I see it on Running Wild. You know, I take all these stars away and they're always rookies to this stuff. And yet it lights them up. So that's always been, it's just always been part of my life.
Tell us about your new show a little bit more, Bear Hunt.
So Bear Hunt was a show we did for Netflix this year. That's been really fun. You know, we took 12 British celebrities into the jungle, trained them up, unleashed them, and then I had to hunt them down. So that was pretty fun. And it did well in the UK. It went to number one on Netflix in the UK. And And it's been great. And they did great. You know, they did great. I mean, it's a different show for me because normally Running Wild, I'm always taking people one-on-one. So this is different, but I loved it, yeah. So, but now we're back on Running Wild. We just wrapped up season 9 and we've got some great guests. We haven't yet announced them all. That's to come. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, I never thought I'd still be. We're still going. The show goes from strength to strength. I think the real star of the show is always the outdoors because it opens people up and you get to know people in a totally unique way. So yeah.
Any favorites that you worked with? You worked with so many people. Have any special ones?
Yeah, I think I love tennis. So I think for me, the Federer one, taking Roger Federer was great. Julia Roberts, obviously amazing. And Bradley Cooper is such a great guy and he's become a friend over the years. And I know we've just taken great people over the years. And I love it because you forge sort of a different sort of friendship. You know, it's not like a chat show where, you know, you sit on a chat show and it's sort of a performance for 3 minutes of telling a funny story or something. You know, the Wild is different. You're facing some fears, crossing rivers, climbing cliffs. You get to know each other in a different way.
I bet. And they have to trust you, you know.
Well, it's like, good. And you've got to face those fears together. And that always creates strong bonds between you. And, you know, that's you don't get that in everyday life. And that's the Wild again.
Yeah. What's something that you want to do you haven't done yet?
I'm a really grateful guy. You know, I don't live like always unrestless and unsatisfied. I'm really grateful. First of all, I should have died many times in my life. I mean, there've been a solid 20 times where I shouldn't have come home. I'm so grateful for life. So I do live like that. I love my work. I love the team we film with, you know, and I try and get home afterwards and love my family. I think this book, The Greatest Story, has been such a special thing in all of our lives as a team and as a family. And I think sort of when you start to do things that are beyond yourself, there's always a power to that, isn't it? And I think out of all the things I've done, I've never had a response to any TV show or, you know, or other books or live shows. You know, this has been different. This touches people's hearts because I think it's all of our stories wrapped up in it. You know, it's not like could be the greatest story ever told, you know, or maybe the greatest. You know, if it's true, it changes so much. And I think that's why it touches people and just getting that response from people of like, I wasn't ready for this. You know, I had sort of grown man, sort of big, like biker guy. He said, I've just been in tears and tears reading this book. You know, it's so great to see. And spirituality is such a key part of life, isn't it? Like it's part of your arsenal of what makes you strong. You know, we're not just physical or just emotional or just mental. You know, it's part of life.
Beautiful. Since this is Life Minute, what life advice, everyday advice for surviving life would you give us?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for all of us, and I say this for myself as well, is like live life boldly. You know, you got nothing to lose. I think we're sort of brought up with such a culture of fear of failure. And especially from a young age and kids, it's always like, you know, school's so busy to celebrate the winning and the sporty and the academic and doesn't always just reward the quiet, humble, resilient people. But life does. And I think for all of us in life, it's like, it's amazing how much you can achieve if you're not scared to fail a few times. I mean, I've had so many failures in my life, way more than the successes. You know, people always ask me about the successes. You ask about TV shows or the books or the summits, you know, but actually behind that, it's a string of things that haven't worked out. And I'm proud of them. There are our scars, our markers, they're the stepping stones to the good stuff. So I say go for things. Don't be scared to fail and know the power of never giving up in your life. It's a superpower. And the great thing is it's not a God-given gift. It's not like someone's good looking or sporty or snake. You know, this is resilience. You build it inside. And I love that because it means we all have a chance to elevate and separate ourselves and go that extra mile. And that's where the good stuff in life always is.
So good. What's your favorite comfort food?
I don't know, a really good big steak. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's part of our life every day. A whole family. We live off good grass fed steak and eggs. Try and hunt out raw milk, good honey, good fruit.
Do you come home like with stuff like
yeah, that all the time.
What does a day of relaxing look like to you?
Pretty good at relaxing too. I mean I still like to train most days. That's just become part of my life. But then we live on a little island in the UK in Wales, so I'm swimming in the sea every day. I love that. Very happy to have just cozy days with the family. You know, it's not all death and destruction, knives and ammo. You know, we have very cozy times as well. But I love the outdoors. I always have. And I like to get barefoot, play with the dogs, swim in rivers. It's always part of my life, those things.
Awesome. Does your family ever like take it easier? They just know that's what, you know, it's part of
it. Well, I do take it easy. But also, as a family, everyone likes to be outside. So, yeah, we try and more in life, try and follow the heart and follow nature. And those two things generally get it right.
I love that. So good. What's something you never travel without?
A sense of humor. You know, because if things can go wrong, they will go wrong, especially in terms of the wild. You know, you've got to be ready to pivot, laugh at a situation, adapt a little bit. Know that no plan survives first contact with the enemy. You know, so if it's going to go wrong in the wild, it will. So I think that sort of ability to laugh at yourself, laugh at situations, kind of roll with it sometimes.
What do you do if you encounter a bear?
Well, it depends which bear it is. If it's a black bear, you want to make yourself loud and make a noise and fight back. If it's a brown bear, you don't want to be there. You want to move away fast if you're unfortunate to encounter it. But if you're being attacked, they actually say often, like, play dead. And then if it's a polar bear, if you're cornered, you're in trouble. So the thing is, black fight back, brown lie down, white, good night.
That's a good way to remember it.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.